Hey everyone, welcome to Power of Attorney. I am your host, LaTanya Moore, and today I am absolutely ecstatic to have with me immigration lawyer, Dainu Marhu. Now, she is a family immigration lawyer. She herself is an immigrant. She came to America at the tender age of 10 years old. And in addition to doing family immigration law, she also does business immigration. So this is absolutely phenomenal for those of you that are in business and you're looking to expand your business, especially expanding your talent pool. Because again, oftentimes we know that there are so many barriers to getting the right person for the job. And so now you get an opportunity to learn ways of how you can utilize working with an immigration lawyer to make sure that you do that. So Dainu, welcome to Power of Attorney.
Thank you so much, LaTanya. I'm very excited to have this conversation with you and your listeners.
Awesome. So before we jump into the legal aspects of it, your story of how you came here at 10 years old is so phenomenal. So I wanted to take some time out in the beginning and give you an opportunity to share what that was like, because one of the big things, guys, is that when she came here, she thought she was coming for a visit to visit relatives, only to get here and find out she was never going back home. So if you can let them know where you were living at the time, and then just talk a little bit with our listeners about that journey.
Yeah, sure. So I was, 10. Now, the way it worked, we were in Mumbai. At the time, it was called Bombay in India, which is, a very large city, probably, the financial capital of India. And so, I was used to just having the normal business. My dad was a business owner, and I was used to having a normal middle class lifestyle. And I didn't know anything at all at the time about, the potential of moving to the United States. Now, my uncle, who lived in the U.S., had filed an application for us like 10 years prior. Okay, so probably around the time that I was born. And then later when I'm 10 years old, we get the news that, my parents have the immigration interview. So they don't know exactly how to break it to us, because I think they also themselves were like, we are in a good place here. Do we uproot our life and do we go there or not? And what if we go there and it doesn't work out and we've got to come back? So they were unsure of how to phrase this to the kids, and they were not sure about what their future really held for them. And so what they told us was, we're going to go to the United States. We're going to meet your uncle and cousins, and we're going to try it out. And then, you're going to come back soon. And then the only thing on my mind was, when am I going to see my friends again? And they said, oh, you'll see them next year. You'll see them next year. So I told all my friends that I was going to come back. And I remember the day that we moved, I think we had over 30 pieces of luggage, because it was, my dad, my mom, the two of my brother and I, plus my uncle, my aunt, his daughters, and, another uncle, another aunt. And so it was a group of us, and we were all moving together. So that's one thing about immigration law that's very deeply rooted in its history, is that one of the goals is reunification of family. So it is your family connections and the family branch of immigration that hold a lot of value. And so, when it comes to my immigration, it was through my uncle. He applied for my father, who was his brother, and for his other brothers and sisters. And so that process took 10 years back then, and we're talking early 90s. Now that process is taking 14, maybe 15 years, and depending on the country, in some countries it's taking over 30. In some countries it's like, unlikely to happen in this lifetime. So it's a very long line, let's just say, for sibling immigration. And I didn't know any of this at the time. I just, you know, packed my bags. I came to the United States and I was excited to see snow, frankly. I was like, I've never seen snow. I'm so excited.
So when you came here, Danu, where specifically in the United States did you come to?
We landed at in the JFK airport in New York. My uncle lived in Connecticut at the time, so I spent the first few years of my life in Connecticut, near to where my uncle and aunt lived.
Okay, and then from Connecticut, where did you go? Where did you guys sort of put down your own roots?
So we were in Connecticut for around 6 years. And then one of my uncles, and so the one thing about my family is that we live in what they consider a joint family system. So my uncle, my aunt, two of my cousins, my grandmother, we all grew up in the same household. And so we wanted to kind of stick, together. And so it was my uncle really who got a job in Kentucky. And he was a doctor. He got a great opportunity. And so he's like, you know, I can't pass it down. And so we made the very complex decision of moving all of us from Connecticut to Kentucky. And that's really where my family, you know, my parents still live. And that's where I went partly to high school in Kentucky and partly to high school in Connecticut.
Wow, I can't imagine even being born here in America and moving from Connecticut mm-hmm. to Kentucky. I grew up in Alabama, so I can say that, but I'm sure that it was a complete culture shock. Well, first of all, Danu, mm-hmm. thank you so much for sharing that, because I want our audience to understand that this interview today is not just about the regulations and about how immigration law works. And we're not just talking to someone who knows immigration law. Like, we are talking to someone who lived this entire experience. And 10 years old, the thing about 10 years old that, and the reason why I wanted you to share that is that's a lot different from a 3-year-old. Right. Like you said, you already have your friends. You told them, well, I'm going to be back. And you didn't. Right. And mm-hmm. so that's a lot of lost time. That's a lot of lost relationships, which, you know, hopefully either have been or can be rekindled over time, just because mm-hmm. well, that's just something that that was left behind. So mm-hmm. let's pivot just a bit, because you mentioned how you guys got here was through your uncle. And so that's mm-hmm. a lot. That's in line with our discussion today about family integration law. And thank you for sharing and putting it into perspective how long this takes, because like you said, mm-hmm. the early 90s, which was now what, about 30 years ago, we're talking 10 years. It had already taken 10 years. And now, mm-hmm. like you said, depending on the countries, it'll take a lot longer. Just off mm-hmm. the top of your head, if you could share with us which countries sort of have a shorter time frame and which ones have some of those longer time frames that you talked about.
Basically, most of the world is on the same page with around 14, 15 years. It could go longer. The way it works is it works on this schedule that they print out called the Visa Bulletin. And this Visa Bulletin gives you the date that they're working on now or this month. And so all we know is that what are the dates of the applications that they're working on this month? What we don't know is whether there's a mountain of applications that they will be working on that will slow down the dates in the future. So it varies. So all we can predict is based on what dates are, you know, active this month. And right now they're estimating around 14, 15 years for most countries. The exception being Philippines, which is much, much longer, and Mexico, which is much, much longer. And so, you know, most of the countries are on the same page. So almost every country has, you know, long line to bring their siblings over. And they can bring their siblings, they can bring the spouses and the kids that are under 21 for their siblings.
Wow. And that's really interesting to know because, you know, I have been practicing for quite a while now, have zero experience, zero with immigration law. But of course, here lately with a lot of the political things that the political climate, and I know we're going to get to that a little bit later in our discussion. I've started to look a little bit more just to be aware, just for my own, I guess my own edification and understanding. And mm-hmm. So I thank you for sharing that. Now, do you have a theory of maybe why there is such a backlog?
Well, there are quotas. So the Immigration and Nationality Act puts in quotas for how many immigrants can come in different categories each year. And those quotas haven't been updated in a very, very long time. And so even, countries that have a large population like India or China, they have quotas as well. And so the quotas are pretty restrictive and, you know, causing these very, very long time lag. And one thing I guess people don't necessarily realize, I think sometimes when you're listening to different, you know, politicians campaign about immigration, you know, they don't often reflect reality. They often reflect like, oh, you know, there's chain immigration. Like, what does chain immigration mean? People think it means, oh, we're bringing in uncles, we're bringing in aunts, we're bringing in grandparents. We're not able to. And it's only U.S. citizens. They can sponsor their parents. They can sponsor their brothers or sisters and their immediate family. And they can sponsor their kids. And really, that's it.
Wow.
And permanent residents have, you know, even more restrictions. Permanent residents can't even sponsor their kids if they're married. Permanent residents can't even sponsor their parents. They can't sponsor brothers or sisters. So permanent residents can sponsor their spouses or kids that are unmarried.
Wow, that's really interesting. And of course, there's so many layers to this. And so I know that we could probably talk all day just about the family immigration part. Thanks so much for joining us for the Power of Attorney podcast. This has been part one of Dispelling the Immigration Myth. Thanks so much to Daynu. She is an awesome immigration attorney. For those of you that need to contact her, you can reach her at swagatusa.com. Stay tuned for part two of Dispelling the Immigration Myth, where we are going to be talking about how business owners can utilize immigration laws to recruit top international talent. Thank you so much. Don't forget, follow our podcast on all places where podcasts are aired. Also, like our Facebook page, Power of Attorney with LaTanya Moore. Thank you so much. Have a great day.